Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Time Spent Poorly Show with your hosts, Eduardo, Old Huds, and Brother Ron. Here's a quick clip from tonight's show to whet your appetite.
Oh my, Pat Sajak almost lost it on this dude.
These people haven't seen a person lose it.
No. Have these people ever watched old episodes of Match Game?
These people have never been out of their basements.
On Match Game? Not only would the host, whose name I can't remember.
I can't ever either.
But I know that Richard Dawson was on there.
Always.
Bottom middle, exactly. And I know that Betty White was on there regularly.
Charles Nelson Reilly!
But they, not only would the host openly ridicule the people's answers, but all of the game show contestants.
The whole panel.
They would openly ridicule.
It was like roast time.
Yeah, was like open field day for roasting the contestants.
Yeah, Betty White was a savage.
Made it fun.
Yeah.
Savage.
What would these people have said to something like that?
Wow, this really sounds like it's going to be the best show, better than anyone we've done before or anything we can do afterward in the history of the program. You mark my words. We know there's all sorts of better ways you can be spending your time, so thanks for spending yours, albeit poorly, with us. If you want to learn more about who we are, go to timespentpoorly.com. Everything you need to know, whether it's accessing past episodes, future live broadcasts, or other shows on our network, it's all right there. There's also a link to our Patreon if you find yourself compelled to support one of your favorite shows, hosted by any of these nobodies from the Pacific Northwest. Well, gentlemen, I'm not here, but you are, so let's get it on! Without further delay, please welcome your hosts, Eduardo, Old Huds, and Brother Ron.
So, we were talking about the switch to streaming and movie theaters and those kind of things on the last episode, and I brought up a couple articles that I wanted to discuss because this is the one that first brought my attention. The first thing that caught it was how much money the movie made, and the second thing was the disparity between it and the previous movie. We talked, of course, there are a lot of...
Last episode we talked about James Bond.
Yeah, we talked about James Bond. Well, since then, there's been an outcry of, as I talked about prior to us getting on the show, Legendary Pictures... co-financed.
Well, we need to tell what happened in case nobody knows, but I'm sure most people know. Well,
theaters are dying.
But Warner Media, HBO Max.
They announced that all of their major releases for 2021 are going to be simultaneously released in theaters as well as on HBO Max. They'll be on HBO Max for exactly a month at no extra charge for the people who subscribe to it. And then they'll be pulled.
Oh, they're going to pull them.
They'll pull them, and then they will follow normal DVD, Blu-ray streaming releases. So they'll only be there for the month. But
that's interesting.
Theater chains, specifically AMC, they're fucking furious. Actors, and not just actors now, but like Denis Villeneuve, the guy that made Dune, which is going to be part of it. James Gunn, who's made the new Suicide Squad movie. Is part of it as well. They're pissed because not only them, but the actors in their movies were taking basically pay cuts to take a percentage off of the box office cuts as their profits for the movies.
Yeah.
And of course, the box office profits for the movies are going to be garbage because, for one, they're going to be on streaming now, and for two, nobody's going to the theater anytime soon.
Everybody's fucking scared.
Yeah.
Well, we've gone a few times since... ours reopened, just because they're $5 a show.
Super cheap.
I think that's part of the problem is the theater model is so hot. Like the ticket price that you pay is so...
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to go back.
Right. Well, it's like we talked about...
But if I could pay $5 to go see a show, I'd pay $5 to go see a show.
Reasonable. It's like we talked about with Black Widow. If Disney would have done with Black Widow... what they did with Mulan. You want to charge me $30 to watch it at home? Well, spoiler alert, for me and my son to go watch it at the theater, even before we pay concession prices, we're paying $30. So absolutely I'll pay for it to watch it at home.
Well, I was taking five people to the theater because I have my three kids and my wife and myself. And so it was like, want to go to the movie? I guess we're going to go spend $100 right now.
Exactly.
you go spend $7.
So when you have HBO Max saying, no, just buy our subscription and you can watch it at home.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to go to the theater and see it, quite frankly. If you can pay $15 a month for HBO Max instead of paying a crisp $100 bill to go watch a movie, people aren't going
to
do that.
I don't know how people can afford it. I've been to the movie to the theater twice in the last year. And, yeah, I mean, I would rather wait 6 weeks and watch it at home. Be
yep.
comfortable.
Yeah.
Be able to pause it to go to the bathroom.
Yep.
You know,
be able to not listen to some schmuck yeah. chewing his food too fucking loud right Absolutely. Behind you, or some kids in front of you who won't get off their phone.
I fucking yeah. hate other people.
Yeah,
like for me, if I end up in hell, it'll be enjoyable. In a theater with right? other people.
It is
like every fucking asshole that you yeah. ever hated so we will be in that theater.
The last show that we yeah. watched because it was $5.
Some fucking dick who's three seats behind you who couldn't find a babysitter for their 6-month-old, so yep. they decided they were going to go to the movie anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you stabbing that baby? No. Would you like me to? Because I.
We watched.
Awkward. Shut that chicken up. And then yeah. that scene yeah. from MASH.
I went and saw Empire Strikes Back with my son. That yeah. was the last one we went to. Or no, we went yeah. to Beetlejuice.
Which one did you go to?
We watched Aquaman. We were the only people in the whole theater. We made fun of the fucking show the entire time. And it was great.
It was probably the best time you had in the theater.
It was really good. There was five of us there, and we were just...
You had that giant room to yourself.
Yeah.
Just fucking awesome.
Mystery Science Theater, the shit out of it.
It was so stupid. Aquaman is so dumb.
I still haven't watched it.
You're not missing it.
I've
heard.
Don't
get your expectations up.
Oh, I believe
it's.
I bet you I'll enjoy it then. Because, you know, there's a lot of movies that people are like, oh, that movie was balls.
You're like, and watching I just go stuff in there and soft focus.
I just don't care.
Yeah.
Was and then I'm like, man, it wasn't so bad. What was the last thing that
was,
I said that about?
Fine.
No, I mean, didn't all the shots seem like they were done in this like soft focus feel?
I just thought if you watched the first 5 minutes
of
the last 5 minutes of the show, you were fine. But it had the Power Rangers in it. It had... Well, we were naming all the shows that were in it. There was like, it's not on the top of my head anymore. There's like 5 or 6. You could pick out 5 or 6 different kinds of movies in that show. And it was awesome.
So, as I said, Legendary Pictures, the people who co-financed the Godzilla vs. Kong movie that you have up here, they're already talking about suing Warner Brothers because they co-financed a $160 million movie that they were expecting to get box office returns for, that they're now...
Was it in the contract?
Good question. I don't know.
At the end of the day, that's what matters.
Where's
the COVID clause? I don't know about that. But they're talking about essentially suing Warner Brothers for loss of revenue because Warner Brothers owns it. See? They helped finance it. Mm-hmm. So what Warner Brothers does with it, Legendary does not get a say in.
Right.
However, they're trying to argue that, hey, we helped pay for this. We were expected a certain amount of return on it. So for them to make a decision on something that we co-financed is not okay. That's their argument. This week, representatives for Denzel Washington, Margot Robbie, Will Smith, Keanu Reeves, Hugh Jackman, and Angelina Jolie and Gal Gadot have all come out saying that they will boycott Warner Brothers. They will have nothing to do with any future productions of theirs, which is a big deal, especially for Gal Gadot, because she's fucking Wonder Woman.
Right. And Keanu Reeves.
And with
Denzel
the new Matrix.
Washington.
And Washington. They're not fucking no-name people.
Right.
And they're coming out
saying... They aren't. But listen. Actors... are a dime a dozen.
Right.
They'll move on.
They'll just build new stars.
They'll just make...
At the end of the day, I mean, what is Gal Gadot other than Wonder Woman?
You saw how disposable Johnny Depp was.
And I'm a huge
and
fan
she's a
of her
perfect
work as
Wonder
Woman.
Woman. But she was nobody else.
She wasn't even on my radar for Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
And she's done a great job.
Well, the other thing is let's say they did release into theaters. It would probably cost more to release them to the theater than what they would make.
Yeah. And that's my follow-up.
And they
it.
Could probably argue
so,
that in court.
This weekend, for the Thanksgiving weekend and whatnot, this previous weekend, the number one movie in the country was the Croods sequel. Yeah.
Believe of course
me.
It was.
Believe me, I'm right there with you.
Oh, Nicolas Cage is counting his cash.
Yeah, well, they got Ryan Reynolds for the sequel, man.
He was in the first one.
Was he?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I'll be was damned.
He was the more human person.
It was Emma Stone, Nicolas Cage, and Ryan Reynolds. But anyway, so in its 10 days worth of opening at theaters, it's made $20.3 million.
Which is nothing now.
Do you want to know how much the original that was not a sequel and not a tested property made in its opening 3 days?
How much?
43.6.
More than double.
More than double. It made $4.4 million in its second weekend. So the Croods 1 brought in total in America $187.2 million. The sequel has made in 10 days $20.3 million. Where is the drop-off? When are they going to finally realize?
So these.
No, I've been wondering this for years, but really more so for months because
they're gonna have to sell these movies.
So
they're not gonna make any money in theaters. They're not.
No.
But are they gonna get any subscriptions out of this? The people who are going to subscribe to HBO Max are probably already subscribed to HBO Max.
HBO Max as of this month is at 12.3 million subscribers.
Okay. So we'll have to see.
And that's what, $15 a month, right?
Yeah. And so if you already had January. HBO, you rolled into, 12.3,
write
you said?
Down.
Yeah, 12.3.
Okay.
Write that down in our show notes.
Yeah.
And we'll visit this in 3 weeks, 4 weeks.
Because it'll be after Wonder Woman comes out.
Right. Wonder Woman's going to be the test shot on this. And that's when that's really what they should decide this whole thing on. Instead of running their fucking chops about doing this, they should have just kept their mouths shut about Matrix 4, about this awesome-looking Godzilla. I love that Godzilla picture, by the way. I want to give him a great big fucking hug.
Yeah, it's great.
Is that the new one?
Sure.
Or is that the one with Millie Bobby Brown?
No, that's one of the new ones.
Love him. Have you seen Enola Holmes?
No, I haven't.
It was fun.
My parents loved it.
You could watch it with your kids.
My parents loved it. I haven't watched it yet.
That's the Netflix one, right?
Right.
I've seen the name of it on Netflix, but I haven't watched
it. I turned it on to fall asleep to.
My daughter likes it.
I was like, whatever. It's something. And Henry Cavill's in it. And I was like, and I watched the whole thing. It was the worst Mycroft Holmes that's ever been put to film.
Wow. Jared Harris is far hard to...
What?
Isn't Jared Harris Mycroft in the...
Stephen Fry was.
Oh.
Jared Harris was Moriarty.
Yeah, he was Moriarty.
No, Mycroft is the oldest brother.
Yeah, excuse me. I'm sorry.
He's the... No, Stephen Fry is fantastic.
In everything.
I don't know who... I recognize the guy when he doesn't have a goofy-ass mustache, but...
Let me see. Because I haven't watched it yet, but Mom and Dad were telling me it was really good.
It was weird seeing Millie Bobby Brown actually act. Because, like, she doesn't as 11.
No.
She just doesn't.
No, she barely even talks.
Yeah, she's just a wall. And...
Oh, it's Sam Claflin, the kid from Hunger Games.
Yeah.
I like him.
Yeah, he's the worst Mycroft. The character is a douchebag.
That's too bad.
It's not because he's not a good actor. It's because the character is a douchebag.
So I think of all the streaming services, we talked about this. HBO Max, probably the best streaming service.
By far and away.
Yeah, like, I don't think
so. Going right now.
And especially with what they're doing with this coming year, with releasing the theatrical movies with it for no additional charge, I don't think it's even close at this point.
I think if there was one that I was going to just pay for, it would be that one.
Even over Netflix, I'd say.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't...
Definitely.
My thing with Netflix is it's like a $6 thing for the one screen standard definition.
Right. And we're paying for four screens in our house because of the kids.
You do not notice the difference in the definition.
Like, no.
No. It doesn't matter which TV I watch it on. I can watch it on this iPad, or I can watch it on the great big one Jenny's got in the living room.
That's the big reason why I still pay for it, is I want the HD, but if it's not that noticeable, I'll take it.
No, the kids, and it doesn't destroy my fucking internet, which is nice.
I could care less about HD.
Yep, it doesn't matter.
At the end of the day,
my eyes only see so good.
Right.
Well, and you know, you see those guys on YouTube who are talking like, "Oh, this isn't fucking 60 FPS." Shut up.
4K.
I don't even have a 4K TV. You think I give a shit about 4K like, availability?
I can't tell.
I prefer 60 hertz over 120 any day.
I can't even tell.
Yeah.
There was a thing on Reddit the other day. They were comparing Dragon Quest XI and the new, the definitive edition released with the graphical upgrades for the whatever. And they've got side-by-side comparisons. There's no fucking difference. And one dude's like, "Oh, you can see the textures are so much better." Like, no, you can't. Just shut up, nerd. Like,
well, they're getting to the point now. I mean,
you can't tell.
Kind of in line with what you said, Ward. They're getting to the point now where your eyes can't, even if you have 20/20 vision, they can't differentiate between the two.
What's the resolution of me looking at you?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, you can't get better than that.
Right.
Like, right.
I'm here.
I mean, that's real.
And have you seen the commercials for that one that Keanu Reeves is doing, Cyberpunk 2077 or whatever?
Yeah.
Like
the game.
It looks like Keanu Reeves on the screen. So yeah. That's as good as it gets. We're done.
Everybody's really hard up for that game, but I'm not going to lie. I don't.
I want to read before we navigate out of here. I want to read what the AMC CEO had to say.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's.
Yeah.
Please, I go off on
please
tangents,
do because I yeah.
These coronavirus-impacted times are uncharted waters for all of us, which is why AMC signed on to an HBO Max exception to customary practices for one film only, Wonder Woman 1984, being released by Warner Brothers at Christmas when the pandemic appears that it will be at its highest or at its height. However, Warner now hopes to do this for all of their 2021 theatrical movies. Despite the likelihood that with vaccines right around the corner, except Trump didn't buy enough.
Right.
Where was I? The theater business is expected to recover. Clearly, Warner Media intends to sacrifice a considerable portion of the profitability of its more movie studio division. And that is to production partners and filmmakers to subsidize HBO Max startup. I can't read. As for AMC, we will do all in our power to ensure that Warner does not do so at our expense. We will aggressively pursue economic terms that preserve our business. And then the part that I like is viewing the world's best movies safely in our big seats with our big sound and our big screens.
Everybody has 80-inch fucking screens at their homes.
Yeah, I have an 86-inch TV now. Give a rat's ass.
But it's like 100 and, you know.
I liked your comment was like, "I'll dip my balls in butter and or something." Like,
what did I say? I have to look it up now.
You were pissed.
That shit was funny. I was paraphrasing Boondock Saints. Of course, nothing's loading. You'll have to look it up.
Yeah, that's my shitty internet.
Oh well.
Let's see.
Anyway, but yeah, the
okay. I don't. So,
what difference is it going to make if it's a wall or it's my TV in my living room? Like either I'm going to listen to my 2-year-old scream or I'm going to listen to somebody else's 2-year-old scream.
At least you can pause it when it's your own
TV. It's not the same as it was 20 years ago when the biggest TV you had was a 32-inch.
Exactly.
Right. You know, or some 50-inch.
That you had to swat on the side.
That you had Remember to stare straight in front of. You couldn't see from the side, you know.
Yeah.
Big screen TV.
They can lick my ass and suck my balls. I will soak them in popcorn butter so they can get a taste of home.
So eloquent. So, okay, so here. This is from an article from Variety yesterday about Legendary suing Warner Brothers. Legendary Entertainment, the production company that co-financed Dune and Godzilla vs. Kong, may take legal action against Warner Brothers over the studio's decision to send its movies to HBO Max at the same time that they debut in cinemas. Legendary financed a significant portion of Dune, which cost roughly $175 million, and Godzilla vs. Kong, which carries a price tag around $160 million. yet the company was largely kept out of the loop that their films would be included in Warner Brothers' plan to send 17 films, aka its entire 2021 slate, to the subscription streaming service and any open movie theaters. Sources familiar with the situation say that top brass at Legendary are trying to have conversations with Warner Brothers regarding their upcoming films. Legendary and Warner Brothers have frequently collaborated over the years on titles such as Christopher Nolan's Dark Knight trilogy, the Hangover movies, and the Godzilla franchise. Legendary is hoping to first negotiate a more generous deal, but they aren't taking legal action off the table should the two companies fail to come to a compromise. One possibility is that Warner Brothers will buy the films outright from Legendary. No legal challenge has been filed yet, but a suit could materialize as early as this week. It's unclear what grounds Legendary would use to challenge the decision, though it'd likely involve breach of contract. Because again, they agreed to fund these movies. And yeah. Then Warner Brothers decided to do something with them without their say-so. Can you legally do that? If you got all of your friends to pitch in money, say that the four of us here were like, you know what we should really do? We should buy this really cheap piece of property and we should build a house on it. And I'm going to be the one that does all the paperwork for it. And I'm going to make sure that it all gets done. And you guys are all going to kick into it. And then I'm going to buy that house, but I'm not going to live in that house. I'm going to rent that house out and I'm going to spend the rest of my life renting it to people so that I get money and residuals for it every month. Is that fair to you guys?
It doesn't matter if it's fair. It matters what's legal.
Exactly.
That's true.
What does it say on paper?
What
at the
is
end
the
of the day,
precedent?
that's what America is.
I mean, yeah, it sucks, but at the same time.
And how?
But is it documented in their agreement?
How out of bounds would it be for one of you guys to be like, wait. You said we were building a house. You didn't say shit about the fact that you were going to make money off of this fucking thing without us for the rest of your life. Because that's where it really boils down to, is Legendary's not going to see shit of that money.
Is it ethical? No.
No, it's not.
But is it legal?
Possibly.
Probably.
Very possibly. And yeah, honestly, probably.
Well, like you said earlier, Chris, their argument in court will probably be we wouldn't have recouped the cost of even...
We could release it in the theater. That's cool.
They should.
But
they should
nobody's... Let's go ahead and do that.
Then you guys can be fucking losers, and then it'll be on
our streaming service later, and we'll get the people then.
And realistically, that's probably what their lawyers came up with to cover their asses. That's probably why it will be released in theaters at the same time that it's released on HBO Max, is then they can say, no, we still put it out in theaters. You guys still get a cut of the theatrical profits.
Yeah, how long are you going to sit on those then? Until when?
That's the Marvel, such an awful fucking choice.
That's the Marvel thing. How long can you sit on these movies before you eventually have to fucking do something?
Yeah.
Like this whole last year of Disney Plus has been wasted.
Yeah.
Because we were supposed to have Falcon and the Winter Soldier, and now we're going to get WandaVision later this month.
And I'm admittedly more excited for that than I am Falcon and Winter Soldier, but I'm a big Winter Soldier fan.
But
I am too, but I'm really stoked for WandaVision. I think it looks cool.
Yeah.
I like what they're doing with it. It's a neat idea.
And I want to know why it was so important that Black Widow be this big release. Something has to happen in that movie that it needed to be.
I think it is nothing more than it's a Marvel movie, so at worst it would have made $600 million.
I'll tell you exactly what'll happen. I can tell you exactly what's going to happen. It'll start out with a big theatrical something or other, okay? Then it'll calm down. Then there'll be a bad guy introduced, okay? Then she will lose to the bad guy, but not completely lose because she's not going to die. But then she'll have a comeback, and then she will beat the bad guy, and that'll be the end of the movie.
She is going to die, just not in this movie, because she already died in Endgame.
Yeah. So I've already spilled the movie. That was a spoiler alert, folks.
Sorry.
Because...
Now you know how Black Widow goes.
That is every Marvel movie ever made.
Yeah, they're extraordinarily. And it won't just be a bad guy. It'll be a bad guy who has weirdly similar powers and capabilities to the hero.
This is what I don't get, like Superman, let's say. So Superman can't die, pretty much. And he has this bad guy that can't die, pretty much. And they battle it out and destroy the city. What the fuck is the point?
Yeah. Like, why didn't they use Lex Luthor?
Yeah.
And then when they did, they used the fucking Jesse Eisenberg.
They made him.
But, you know, superhero
weirdest.
Movies, they just annoy me. I have a hard time with movies anymore. Because they're just, most of them are so bad.
Did you guys see the new Snyder cut?
Yeah.
Trailer?
Yeah.
What's that one?
Hallelujah.
Yeah. It was the same one that they used in the black and white version. They just colorized it and added a few scenes.
It was fucking stupid.
He has a big heart on for that song.
He does. I get less excited about it the longer it takes him to get it done.
Yeah.
Like, a year ago when they were like, yeah, it's going to be six.
That's like the Black Widow.
They should have held off on announcing it.
That's like the Black Widow thing. I'm less excited about the movie.
Yeah.
The more they hold it off, the more I'm like,
just throw it out there. Just add it. No one will even notice. Don't even announce it. Just put it out there. Just be like, hey.
Did you see this? It was on here. Like
browsing through.
You're just clicking through. You're like, Black Panther, you're Black like, Widow?
No shit.
Ant-Man and the Wasp.
I'd
Ant-Man
be more likely to watch it if I just happened to come across it.
Yeah.
I would be much less excited for Black Widow if it didn't have Florence Pugh in it. I've talked about Midsommar on our previous shows.
Yeah.
And she was the lead in that. And if you haven't seen it, I can't even hear myself.
That was so good.
Yeah.
The girl
that is the lead in that?
Yeah.
She's the new Black Widow.
Oh.
She's taking over for Scarlett Johansson.
Okay.
She's in a movie on Hulu called Fighting With My Family. That is loosely based on that chick Paige from the WWE, and she plays her.
Oh, is that who that is?
She is fucking phenomenal.
That Fighting With My Family movie is good.
Yeah, right?
That was a good
flick. She's the biggest reason why I want to see Black Widow, is I really, really fucking like her.
Wow. All right.
She's great.
She was. She reminds me of an actress that Jennifer Lawrence could have been.
Yep.
You watch Jennifer Lawrence in like Winter's Bone, and you're like, fuck.
I saw that in the theater in
And then they stuck her in the Hunger Games movies, and it kind of made her less desirable. Not
it's
like
a cookie cutter.
Yeah, it's
teen.
The books were horrible. I can't believe they made movies out of those.
Did you watch Red Sparrow?
Yeah, that was good.
It wasn't bad.
Which one was that?
That's the one where she's the Russian spy and she's like all sex sexy and...
Yeah. No, I'll check it out.
They literally teach her how to fuck people to get information out of them at one point in the movie. It's interesting.
I missed that day in Interrogator.
It's very, right? It's very gratuitous, but it ain't bad.
It's good. They make her fuck some dude right in front of the class.
Shoot or they your almost hip fuck. Like I this. He'll tell
no, dude.
You everything.
I, like I said, Florence Pugh is the main reason why I want to see Black Widow. Black Widow's dead. Spoiler alert: Scarlett Johansson died. Everybody fucking knows that.
Endgame is like 2 years.
But old. Yeah, exactly. But they're using this movie as apparently she's going to be in the Hawkeye show on Disney Plus, and they're using it as a kind of backdoor way to introduce her as the new Black Widow character. And I really, really fucking like her.
Nice.
Is Scarlett Johansson just tired of doing it?
No, I think it was more of a Robert Downey Jr. thing where they were just like,
we're going to phase out the old
there's not so much we can do with you anymore. You're really expensive.
You're
really expensive.
We need to downsize.
Apparently the, you know who Taskmaster is.
Yeah.
Apparently he's really badass in the movie.
I hope so.
But
he's really badass in the comics.
Yeah. But
so his superpower is as soon as he sees somebody do something, he can do it. And so like he watches Captain America do his thing so he can fight like Captain America.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, so he sees him throw the shield and he can throw the shield.
He's like the dude in Heroes that when he like
the little girl
he could take over.
Yeah.
Heroes. The first season of Heroes was good.
Yeah.
I've
watched it so many times.
So good.
It's great.
You know what I love about it? It ends at the end of the season.
Yeah.
Like it's done, and you're not expecting more.
Yeah.
And then they just fucking wipe their ass with the rest.
What is it?
Oh, yeah. Then they're like, let's time travel.
Yeah.
Jack Coleman, the guy that plays the guy in the horn rim glasses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He is so phenomenal in the first season of that show. Yep. He is such a great, creepy, suited bad guy.
He's one of the best Batmans ever.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he's good.
Because he doesn't have a bat suit. He doesn't have a bunch of money. He's just a super good Batman.
I haven't seen that show in 15 years. I need to watch it again.
Yeah.
Season one still holds up. But
I remember when they were advertising that in the movie theater.
Oh, yeah, I do too.
Yeah, I think the first I ever saw anything for that, I went to see Snakes on a Plane.
You guys seen Better Call Saul?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck, that's a good show.
Yeah, it is.
I was super on the fence.
As good as Breaking Bad, if not better in some regards. Not
better, yeah.
I think it's better.
I was super on the fence, but yeah.
The director in that show does such a good job.
Dude, Vince Gilligan knows his shit.
Like, every episode starts out kind of uniquely strange, and he just knows how to make a good show.
What are we watching?
Speaking of universe building. Oh, I was just moving up the next segment.
Oh.
What's the next?
Way to cue it up.
Yeah.
But way to distract everyone.
Sorry.
Like, wait, what are we looking at? I thought you were pulling up something related to Heroes.
No.
Shit, yeah, I'll watch Kristen Bell throw lightning at people. I just finished watching The Good Place.
I forgot she was in that.
Yeah, she was Stephen Tobolansky's daughter.
Yeah.
He touched things and turned them to gold.
Yeah,
she threw fucking lightning at people.
He was Midas. The best thing that Milo Ventimiglia ever did.
God, he's awful, too.
Yeah, he's really, yeah.
There are quite a few really...
He was Peter Petrelli.
...bad actors in that. Yeah. And there's some good ones that they really wasted. There's some
really remarkably bad acting in that show.
I think Hero and his little sidekick were good.
Yeah.
Nathan Petrelli was really good.
Honestly, most ever.
Where is that? Like, I don't see that actor in anything now.
He showed up in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh, that's right. I was looking at his credits.
He played a lot of high-ranking military officials in a lot of different things.
He's got that jawline. He has
that military look,
Like
no, he was
single episodes of things. He was in a ton of shit, but he didn't do a lot of.
He was General Talbot in several episodes of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Wow,
yeah,
but
it's like always casting Timothy Oliphant as a marshal. He plays a U.S. marshal in Fargo season 4.
He's
in Fargo.
He was funny.
Oh my God.
Like
that's
funny. In his early 20s to really like his early 30s.
Dude, Girl Next Door.
Yeah.
When he plays the pimp guy, he is so fucking funny in that.
Pimps and drug dealers and pornographers.
He was so funny.
And then
funny
he does
that.
This whole shift.
Yeah. He was a drug dealer in Go. He was a killer in Scream 2.
I totally forgot he was in Go.
He was the terrorist in Die Hard.
Yeah, he was the bad guy.
That was when he started
to shift.
He
was great in Die Hard.
Because he was a government official in that who went bad.
Yeah,
and then after that he got into Deadwood and he played.
Well, he'd already been in Deadwood.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah. But the roles were starting to kind of
he was starting
there.
To move
toward
Lawman.
Yeah. Once he started to move towards that, it was the only thing that he did.
And then he got that Santa Clarita Diet where he was the stoner. Mm-hmm.
I am so pissed that husband. That show got canceled.
That was a fun show.
I loved that show. It was so much fun.
It was, and that's the best word for it.
It was dumb, but it was fun.
I imagine it would have gotten really expensive after 3 seasons, though.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. But it was fun. And like Netflix
Drew Barrymore
doesn't
can't
have
be
the
cheap.
Fucking money to throw at it. You can make 4 seasons of Big Mouth, but you can't fucking make...
Oh, fuck that
show. I assume that was cheap.
Big Mouth is... It is not as, like, lowbrow humor as some of the stuff that they do. Like, it has a few high points, but Jesus Christ, it is... It has its moments where you just want to...
I haven't even turned it on.
I haven't looked at it.
I've watched the first 3 seasons. I'm not... necessarily proud to admit it, but I'm a big fan of John Mulaney.
I like
a very, very big fan of John Mulaney. See, I haven't watched an episode of BoJack Horseman.
I wanted to like it, but it's, I don't know.
They do a good job. The only credit that I will give that show is they do an actually really decent job of capturing what it feels like to be an awkward pubescent teenager. The problem is they don't crank it to 11. They crank it to like 111. And it's just so outlandish that it's
too much. It's not relatable.
It's not relatable. It's
See,
really
that's the
not.
Thing. Is shit has to be relatable or it's not funny.
There's some funny moments to it.
There's a lot of times when things just get... You're like, I'm not there anymore.
Like one of the things is the boy characters in the early seasons. The boy characters have this. He's like a puberty demon, basically, that shows up and manifests to them, and is like their burgeoning manhood embodied, talking to them about all the things that they need to do. And I think it's the second season when the female characters start to get one. But the female character's puberty demon is voiced by Maya Rudolph.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't like her. I don't find her funny.
Which one is she?
She's been playing Kamala Harris on the recent stuff of SNL. She was on SNL for quite a few years.
Was she the judge on The Good Place?
She was the judge on The Good Place.
I hate her.
I don't fucking like her, and I don't think she's funny. I don't think that just saying something...
She's a coattailer with Amy Poehler and Tina Fey. Coattailed.
Yes. Basically, saying something in a funny voice does not make it funny.
I don't like anything about her.
But she's a coattailer, and she knows it.
Yeah.
But she's going to milk it till the...
Because Nick Kroll, one of the things that I didn't realize initially was that Nick Kroll does like a good 5 or 6 of the voices on the show.
Yeah.
And they're really pretty impressive, the range that he has and the vocal work that he does. But I honestly thought that the puberty demon initially, it sounds so much like Will Arnett that I thought it was Will Arnett. But it's not. It's Nick Kroll. And then, like I said, the second season shows up and she shows up and she has this really like trying to be sassy black woman voice, but it's not. And it's just, it's grating. And it really,
I would have liked to see
one of the most grating celebrities.
I don't care for her.
You know who I would like to see coattail more than her would have been Rachel Dratch.
Hard disagree.
Which one's she?
I don't like Rachel Dratch. I don't think she's funny.
I think some of the stuff that she did was okay.
I think her whole... I would have rather seen her over Maya Rudolph.
That's where I was kind of going with it.
Given the choice between the two, I'd take neither.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, I don't like Rachel Dratch. I don't think that... Maya Rudolph can at least be funny. I don't think she's good at it.
Yeah.
She can do it. I don't think Rachel Dratch is funny.
No, she's uncomfortable.
I think she's off-putting.
Yeah, she like when she comes on screen, I get uncomfortable.
Her bits on 30 Rock.
Oh, I didn't like her on 30 Rock. I largely didn't like 30 Rock.
There's a lot about it that I didn't like, but
I assume it's what women feel when Donald Trump comes on screen. That's what she makes me feel. It's just uncomfortable.
I'm not.
You need to take a shower.
Now you can empathize.
I'm not somebody who hates on somebody for being like.
Unattractive
or like physically repulsive.
She's like intentionally but that way.
When that's your thing, I always go back to, it was funny to me that you mentioned it the other day, the It's Pat
sketch. Yeah.
Where your whole intent is to be as physically repulsive and off-putting as you can be.
Yeah.
It works for me, man, and I don't want to fucking see you, and I don't care how funny it is. I just don't want to fucking see it.
I don't want to see it.
Yeah, I just, no, thank you, I'm good.
Ta-ta.
I'll look over here.
Yeah, there's all sorts of shit that's like that, and I don't get the appeal because they're trying to not be appealing. They're specifically trying...
That's a big part of why I hate Amy Schumer.
Yep.
Oh, yep.
Yeah, she...
Same.
Absolutely cannot stand her.
Nope.
She's the person I like the least in the industry.
The only thing that I've ever seen that I've liked that Amy Schumer did was she did one episode of her show that was a parody of 12 Angry Men.
Oh,
and
I was going to say, step in front of a train?
She's barely in it. Like, she's only in it for a handful of minutes. But the whole thing is like a 20-minute parody of the movie 12 Angry Men. And she gets these guys to be in a jury. and it's all just this jury discussion. And instead of it being a jury discussion about whether or not this guy is guilty, it's a jury discussion about whether or not Amy Schumer is good looking. And it's fucking gold. Like, seriously, you should check it out because it's really genuinely funny.
I didn't know she had her show. Inside Amy Schumer.
Yeah, it was on Inside Amy Schumer. And it's literally, it's the only thing I've really ever seen her do that I liked. And I actually love it.
And it was because it was self-deprecating to the point that it...
And she's barely in it.
Yeah.
It's about her, but it doesn't feature her.
Hmm.
She had to check the box of approval on the joke, but...
Yeah.
For what the writers wrote. Well, because I'm obviously people are sitting around writing these jokes. Well, yeah. It's basically probably a roast.
Yeah. In a lot of ways, that's kind of what it is. But...
Oh, I'd love to hear it.
It's really great. It's really, really funny. Like I said, it's my favorite thing related to Amy Schumer that I've ever seen.
And it's just because it's hating her.
It's just because A, she's not in it, and B, it's all talking shit about her.
She is fucking stupid.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything redeeming there.
No. No, I don't like a lot of female stand-up comedians. But I would listen to Wendy Cummings talk for days before I would listen to Amy Schumer for 5 minutes.
Whitney Cummings?
Yeah.
Oh, I hate her too.
Yeah, so do I. But I would listen to her all day before I would listen to Amy Schumer.
Have you seen her social media lately?
I'm really sorry that you
have. Yeah.
But no,
I don't go seeking it out.
No, I have not. I have not.
Just fucking crickets, Ward. Yeah.
No,
needy.
I must have missed the follow on that one. At least Eliza Schlesinger's social media is just a bunch of pictures of her tits because she knows what sells.
Man,
She's not funny either. All she does is at least she's aware that she's got a nice body. And so
did you watch her Netflix?
You know, she used to be funny.
The variety show. I didn't
She had watch. A couple of funny stand-up specials.
The hot and cold one.
The early ones were good.
Yeah,
the first two, I think, were worth watching. And after that, she jumped on that hashtag bandwagon.
Yep.
And like really leaned into the social media instead of actually focusing on doing stand-up.
Yeah.
And lost the whole thing. Like, just do your stand-up and save the social media for social media. Yep. You don't have to hashtag party goblin.
Yeah.
While you're on stage.
Right.
Do that. I don't know. Have your fucking thing in the corner or whatever. Yeah. Like, follow me on Twitter or whatever. But don't throw it in the middle of your act the whole time.
No, she had some high points. I think I've only seen one of her Netflix specials. If I remember right, it was the hot and cold one. But
it was hot and cold?
Yeah, very much so. It had its moments.
Yeah. I think that that's the case for a lot of those specials, especially with, like, someone like her. Because I've watched some of her stuff and I'd be like, oh, that's kind of funny. But then I'm like, that's not. It's
very hot and cold.
I watched the preview for her sketch comedy show that she was going to do.
That was garbage.
And I was like, no thanks. I'll watch reruns of Mr. Show. Thank you.
Yeah, I don't think there's been good sketch comedy in years.
Not since Mr. Show.
I'd rather watch my scrotum hair grow.
Well, no, that's not true. I would say that the last good sketch comedy show was Chappelle's Show.
Yeah.
Binge it.
Honestly.
Yeah, I don't think there's been anything worth
I don't think there's been any good
tuning into since then.
Key and Peele had moments.
Yeah.
But it was way more miss than it was hit. I think in terms of like consistency, I think Chappelle's Show is probably the last really great one.
Yeah.
And before that, it was fucking mid-90s with Mr. Show with Bob and David. Because even the revival they did with Netflix, that they did in the like late 2000s, it was good.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't hold a fucking candle to the old shit they did.
Because they both got older.
Bob Odenkirk had done almost all of Breaking Bad before they did any of that. Like, he had moved on to a lot more things.
Yeah, and it's David true. Cross we slow down.
David Cross was barely relevant. anymore. Like, the last shit he had done was
Chipmunk movies.
The Chipmunk movies, I was going to say.
I think the last thing I remember him doing was blowing himself on that scary movie.
Oh, yeah, the scary movie movies.
I can do it myself!
Yeah, yeah.
And he dies,
mm-hmm.
I think. Doesn't yeah. he die?
Mm-hmm.
He dies flying.
Yeah, no, it. Nobody will ever be Flying Circus, man. I'm sorry. Best sketch comedy that was ever done, ever, in terms of consistency.
I thought that was real hit or miss, too. The parrot sketch and a couple of the others were good, but like a lot of it was the same. It was like, eh. The spam one went too hard.
Spam, wonderful spam.
No, the where they're in the restaurant and they're yeah. given the specials and they're like, spam, eggs and spam.
Spam, eggs and spam. Yeah. Well, I'll have your spam. Yeah.
A lot of it's probably in the moment.
Yeah.
The first time you see it, it's like, oh, this is funny.
And a lovely Newberg.
Because I remember watching SNL skits when I was younger mm-hmm. with like Michael Myers and stuff. And he had this one skit. It was like, if it's not Scottish, it's crap. And I remember just loving it. Then it like finally found its way into like, I finally saw it again once like clips started circulating online. And I was like, oh, this kind of sucks. Mm. Or it's not that good. But when I was at a certain age.
That's why I won't go back to In Living Color. I worry that it won't be as good. Because yeah. I remember In Living Color watching it when I was like my son's age.
Oh, it was probably hilarious.
Oh, God. Like everything Jim Carrey and the Wayans brothers did was just hilarious. I mean, Marshal Bill shit.
Right, but if you think about that now, because you're working on your 12-year-old memory or whatever, but if you try to watch, say, today's version of whoever Jim Carrey is, not Jim Carrey, but like
right.
Kid equivalent to who that is, if you're watching that as an adult now with your kid, you're kind of like,
that's exhausting.
The difference between then and now isn't content, it's what's available. Mm. There's so much more available now that shit needs to be better funny. Back then you only had so much available and you could you had three options, which is funniest. Now there's 500 options or 1,000 options.
Yeah.
Which one are you gonna watch? And you'll end up passing over so many of them that you don't even know are going to be funny or whatever. But I mean, the selection is so much.
I don't
higher.
Know.
There's billion hours a week uploaded to YouTube. Mm-hmm. Like you can't even fucking keep up with that.
Yeah.
For one, I've always been, thanks largely to you and you introducing me to it, I've always, from a very young age, been a fan of that really dry British humor.
Mm-hmm.
But there Kids is,
in the hall.
Yeah. IT crowd. There is an aggressive stupidity to it that I don't know what it is, but it one of my favorite bits from Monty Python of Flying Circus is when they're just identifying different types of trees from very far away. The maple, the larch, the larch. I don't know what it is, but it, like I said, there's some kind of just very, very deliberate stupidity to it that just makes me laugh always has.
Have you seen Norseman on Netflix? That show is so fucking funny.
Yeah, I love it. I started watching it with my mom. I fucking love it. Yeah,
you gotta watch
same.
Season three it, first
I haven't,
and then the other one.
I haven't even seen season three.
Is it dry?
Oh, it's very dry, it's good.
So, Jeff, have you watched Toast of London?
No.
Do you know who Matthew Barry is?
Yes.
Okay, it's Matthew Barry's show. It's on Netflix. The first three seasons are on Netflix, and he plays...
What's it called?
Toast of London.
I gotta check
that. He plays an actor named Stephen Toast.
Okay.
And it's I've talked about it on the show previously, but if you like those kind of things, you will love it. The last episode that I watched, he got hired to participate in a quote-unquote... celebrity and prostitute air football match where they bring in various celebrities with their prostitute partners to play. It's soccer on like a foosball table, but it's air football. So you use a straw to blow the ball around to try to make goals. And it's, again, if you like that Kids in the Hall, that really, really dumb, dry British, you'll love it. It's on Netflix. Check it out. I've been a fan of Matthew Berry's since Garth Marenghi's Dark Place. Mm-hmm. And it's really, really funny.
My favorite thing, Norseman, he's laying down, he's getting his tattoo. And he's like, oh, yeah, I decided to get a tattoo about all the different, you know, expeditions that we've had and blah, blah, blah. And mind you, it's like Vikings, you know, it's back in the
1400s. It's like Vikings done as a Channel 4 comedy, basically, yeah.
Yeah, and so then they pan out, and it's like a stick figure of him with a bow and arrow. It's so funny. You gotta watch North. Have you seen it?
No, it's
no. I'll check it out.
It's pretty good.
There's nothing better.
No, I have really, really enjoyed Toast of London so far, and apparently they're making a spinoff series. I saw on Reddit here the other day where they did 3 seasons for Channel 4 on the BBC, and now they're going to do a spinoff series where he comes to America. But it's basically just the story of this really pathetic, failing wannabe actor trying to be successful. And all of the little hijinks that he gets into in the process of doing it, and all the little terrible side jobs and voiceover things that he has to do to try and stay relevant during it. And it's, yeah, like I said, if you like that kind of humor, you'll probably enjoy it very much.
I'm putting it in my queue. Right?
I just added it to my list. I'll check it out.
Yes, I can hear you, Clem Fandango.
No, I've told so many people about Norseman, and they're all, I haven't even seen it.
No, my mom started watching it without me, and she was like, Ron, you should watch this. You'll enjoy it. And so I sat down, and I was like, this is fucking great.
I was hooked from the first 5 seconds when those old fuckers were jumping off the cliff.
Yeah, it's just so, again, it is that kind of aggressively dumb, dry humor that I really enjoyed it.
People in power give me a clip boner. So funny.
All right, Ron, you want to read? I apparently can't read.
So what are we?
My screen from here.
Get me back to the notes really quick so I can see where we're going with this.
Okay.
Because I actually watched this clip and I thought it was really, really funny. Because Pat Sajak has been an asshole to contestants on Wheel of Fortune for a very, very long time. This is not something that's new.
Yeah, since like 1980s.
I got clips.
But I don't think
that he's being an asshole, really, as much as he is just trying to be
a
caricature of himself.
It's not that he's
after
being,
doing it for 30 some years.
Yes, exactly. It's not that he's being an asshole. It's that he's like, fucking, really?
This fucking Wheel of Fortune.
It's
do your
Wheel
homework.
Wheel of Fortune. Come on. But so he got in some trouble.
Well,
makeshift trouble, I would say.
His
name made the rounds.
Yeah. For a reason to bitch about anything.
Pat Sajak left dozens of Wheel of Fortune fans mystified.
Dozens.
Tonight. Dozens.
There's only dozens.
Because there's only dozens.
36 left, yeah. At least.
Pat Sajak left dozens of nursing home citizens mystified on Thursday night after the longtime host clapped back at a contestant for the third time in less than 10 days. The episode that aired on Thursday night showed Sajak, 74, in the middle of a promotion for Dick's Sporting Goods when a female contestant interrupted him to make her next move on the letterboard. Never, never interrupt plugs, Sajak informed the contestant, who replied, oh, I apologize. Sajak then laughed before adding, you can do anything else, but don't interrupt. I'm sorry. What did you want to do? This isn't even the one I saw.
No, the clip.
This is more recent than the one that I saw.
Yeah, I didn't see this one either.
Maybe Pat Sajak actually is fucking getting fed up.
You know, though, don't interrupt the plug. They probably get told this stuff when they come in and get set up. Don't interrupt the plugs.
They do. I've spoiler alert. I don't know if I've discussed this on the show, but I will get you a guess here. How many times has Ron applied for the Wheel of Fortune in his adult life?
17.
Just guessing too?
I'm just guessing.
Oh. 7.
Ding, ding, ding. Good job.
Nice.
Yeah. I'm really, really aggressively, weirdly good at Wheel of Fortune.
That's cool.
Like me with Jeopardy?
I don't know what it is, but I'm really, really got a knack for it. Sajak's encounter. Oh,
sorry.
No, you're good. Sajak's encounter did not go unnoticed by viewers, a majority of whom took to social media with their concerns about the host's particularly sassy behavior over the last
week. Love it. We just got to take to social media.
Is Pat Sajak?
That'll solve all our problems.
Is at Pat Sajak okay? He's been testy lately, one viewer asked.
He's clapping back.
My goodness, at Pat Sajak, please be kinder to your contestants. What has happened to you? Yikes. Hashtag Wheel of Fortune.
They're just looking for retweets.
Fuck, I hate Twitter.
Which culture did we appropriate clapback from?
At Pat Sajak has turned into an angry uncle this year. No, he is just sick of these people who don't understand what the fucking guidelines of being on a game show are.
Yeah.
You speak when you're spoken to, fuck's sake.
It's part and parcel to the same thing. We're living in this social media universe, and so Wheel of Fortune has been forced to kind of evolve with that at the same time.
People talking about Judge Judy like this, and she is a flat-out cunt to people on a daily basis.
I know, but that's her bones. That's where she gets her... That's her deal. So
people watch her.
I don't know. I think that it's an overreaction, and I think it's just people just fucking acting out to act out.
Fucking silly. So, no, I haven't seen this one, though.
This is the most recent clip.
I saw the one about the... Oh, we don't have volume.
Where's my sound?
Middle-aged white
women. Be able to save it for 3 days.
Yeah. Vanna's very first show. My mom was a 3-day champion back in 1982.
Oh, that's right. You used to be able to stay here for 3 days.
Yeah,
when you had to bring changes of clothes because we would do the shows in the same day. Yeah,
exactly.
And yet the family members would run out with the same old clothes for 3 days.
38 years after his mother appeared on Wheel of Fortune, contestant Darren McBain spun the wheel Wednesday night. And he
Darren
did
McBain
really
sounds
well,
like a good
especially
porn name.
On a crossword puzzle for things that start with the word kitchen.
Yeah, this cabinet, was the one I heard about.
Towels, oven, sink.
Got them all, yes, sir.
Who calls it a kitchen oven?
Kitchen oven, what's that? Yeah, where else would you keep an oven?
Well, for sure in the kitchen, but who calls it a kitchen oven?
Shut the fuck up, Darren.
Seemed to agree with Darren's point, including one fan who tweeted, kitchen oven is like saying bathroom toilet. However, host Pat Sajak didn't appreciate Darren questioning his puzzles.
Don't you want
They're
don't
not his puzzles.
Yeah.
You got the puzzle. Ungrateful players, I've had it.
No, I'm just teasing. Yes, I thought he snapped.
Many fans thought Pat having none of it was hilarious, while some viewers thought it was a bit much, like this person who tweeted, oh my, Pat Sajak almost lost it on this dude.
These people haven't seen a person lose it.
No. Have these people ever watched old episodes of Match Game?
These people have never been out of their basements.
On Match Game, not only would the host, whose name I can't remember.
I can't ever either.
But I know that Richard Dawson was on there.
Always.
Bottom and I know middle. That, yeah, bottom middle, exactly. And I know that Betty White was on there regularly.
Charles Nelson Reilly.
But they, not only would the host openly ridicule the people's answers, but all of the game show contestants.
The whole panel.
They would openly ridicule.
It was like roast time.
Yeah, it was like open field day for roasting the contestants.
Yeah, Betty White was a
Made
savage.
It fun.
Yeah.
Savage.
What would these people have said to something like that?
Yeah.
Perhaps Pat felt a little guilty about the outburst because at the end of the game, he offered Darren a lighthearted apology.
I'm sorry I yelled at you, Darren. I just don't remember your mother giving us trouble like you did.
She would never do that.
What an asshole.
He's a fucking prick.
Fuck Darren and his mom.
I was talking about Sajak.
No, man.
Fuck all of them.
Darren's,
I don't know any of those
Darren's
people.
Mouthy.
They can all get hit with a meteor. I don't care.
Darren's mouthy. Fuck
I
him.
I can't believe that made the news.
This one, yeah, I know. Exactly. This one's from 6 years ago.
Oh, geez.
This is an ongoing battle.
So skinny.
leading us off a rare moment from Wheel of Fortune.
It's not a rare moment.
It's been going on for years.
Of contestant fails and flubs, he has finally had it.
You know he's seen a lot, but this got to him here. The Best Friends Week, doing this out in Hawaii right now. One contestant yelled out an answer, want to solve the puzzle. You see it up there? There's only one letter, and they wanted to solve the puzzle. And his response was, that's amazing. And it's wrong.
Getting a stiff drink.
Oh, the guess was riding a brown horse. So let's see what happens when the next contestant guesses.
Riding a white horse?
And he just walks off.
That's him losing his cool?
Yeah, yeah.
That's pretty bad.
That was a good joke.
Oh, you walked off the set.
He said he was losing it for a minute. Where did the horse come from? Anyway, seeing a buddy movie, that's...
It's his gimmick. It's a gimmick.
Yeah, his whole thing is he's...
It wasn't even that. It was a good joke.
Yeah. Seeing a buddy movie, as you said.
Well, next though.
The crowd sounded really upset.
Wedding. How long ago was that movie?
Yeah, so what we have here is we have a nightly news program filling almost 2 minutes.
I almost want to watch. I almost want to watch the other 2 minutes to see what these two assholes talk about.
I give zero fucks about a Big Fat Greek sequel. But so here we have.
God, that woman looks like she
knows.
She looks like Angelica. No, she looks like Angelica.
She is in the movie.
The witch's movie.
She's in Hocus Pocus.
Is she really?
That's Kathy Najimy.
That is not Kathy Najimy.
Yeah.
No.
Look at that chin.
She has not lost that.
Or no, that's Nia Vardalos. That's right. They look the same.
I was going to say, no, she
Nia Vardalos and Kathy Najimy. I think I mixed them up.
She looks like Angelica Houston's witch character in the old witches movie from when we were kids.
Which, they can't cross the road.
You know, roast me for that. Because apparently I'm hating on ugly women, but whatever. No, what you see right there is you see 2 minutes of a 20-minute news program that needed to fill two minutes of their news program.
Right. Well, and now it's all full
and
of...
And here's the weather. Because that's what KALEW does.
Right. They now it's all... 4 minutes of news. They don't have that like, yeah, no, it's here, 2 minutes to fill now because it's all COVID talk.
Yeah, right.
Jesus, that I think that's legitimately torture under the Geneva Conventions.
Ugh.
Speaking of people with fucking bullfrog necks.
All I can say, if that's Pat Sajak losing it, then I should probably have my children taken away from me.
Yeah.
Because I lose it on my children multiple times a day, every day.
When I just walk out of the room.
Dad lost.
Mara getting up from her nap.
Oh, sorry, Dad's way out of it now. He can't be around him anymore.
When I'm just like, I'll be back in 5 minutes. Lay back down. Let me know when you're calm.
Jesus.
Just lost it.
Jesus. If that's losing it,
oh,
man.
He just sage-acked her.
That's the episode
Look
title.
Look at that guy. Up top.
He just sage-acked her. That's good.
Oh, you mean he walked out of the room? Yep.
Dude, what about all the times that Alex Trebek, God rest his soul, would straight rake people over the coals?
Oh, no.
Oh, no. I'm sorry. You didn't phrase your answer in the form of a question.
I'm sorry. It was Bangladesh.
Like, you fucking idiot.
Yeah, man.
And he never, and it was never, never, it never was.
Oh, my God.
The words were always... Exactly appropriate. But that tone, yeah. Oh my God.
It was the like a disappointed father.
Yeah. Like, oh geez, I'm sorry, Alex.
You made it all the way to the televised program. I can't believe you let me down like that. Like, that's what the tone was.
How did you score high enough on that written
How did
exam?
You end up on a televised episode? We weed these fuckers out.
All of that in.
I couldn't even get to the fucking tryouts of Wheel of Fortune, man. Come on.
Dipshit.
I think it's because we're from Lewiston.
Yeah.
Because I know I got all my answers right on the Jeopardy test.
Because
the 15 times I've taken it.
They can't bring you on and be like, and you're from fucking where again?
Oh, that smelly place that fucking what's his name's wife doesn't
wife hates.
No, I'm sorry.
Yeah, we're most known for being talked about on the Your Mom's House podcast for being a really smelly place.
Fucking Arnold Schwarzenegger fishes here once a year. Leave us alone!
We were the original Idaho State Capitol, thank you.
You should know that, Trebek. He knows it now.
Well, he knows everything now.
He's got
the moment that you die, you gain infinite knowledge.
Three contestants are the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost now. Too soon?
Infinite knowledge.
Too soon? No.
Fucking,
no,
not at all. Back to, really quick, fucking Fat Man.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Loved it.
Absolutely.
The
really tight script.
Yeah, I don't think there is no fat. There's nothing wasted the whole way through.
Okay, so not to get too spoilery for the people who haven't seen it, even though I know that you don't care about spoilers.
How do you spoil a movie about Santa Claus killing
people? We've all
people?
Seen it. Besides Chris.
The cop car. What was the significance of the cop car?
Oh, I don't know.
That was his pushing him
to do something
to
good
do
with
something
his life.
Good.
No, that's
with
true.
The
yeah.
skill set that he had.
Yeah. I could see that.
Okay. That was what I took from it anyway. Cuz it's not really covered.
Didn't work.
All. It's well, no, clearly it didn't work. But it's not really explicitly covered. It's just kind of I like those little untouched parts of the movies where if you figure it out, you do. But if you don't, it doesn't really impact the end of the movie.
Right. They leave it open for interpretation.
Yeah.
They did a good job with the humor in that show, too. Like, it was spot on. You know, the funny parts were funny.
His bits with the, was it a gerbil or a hamster?
Mm-hmm.
That was so fucking funny to me.
Yeah. I like it when he...
You strike me as more of a reptile man.
I like it when they do all the genres of music when he's driving.
Right? Yeah, dude, his road trip to Canada and through Canada, just that could have been its own movie.
Is that... What's his name?
Yeah.
Walton. Yeah.
Yeah, that dude is so good.
Highly talented.
Oscar winner, Walton Goggins, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, that's right. He won an Oscar. Yeah. Deservedly.
He won one for Hateful Eight?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I'm talking about before he was even on The Shield.
He won an Oscar before The Shield? For what?
For best short film.
Oh, that's right. I listened to, was that the Maron podcast?
I don't know.
He was on Mark Maron. I think he talked about that.
No, I read about it in an article way back when he was still on The Shield. It was a long time ago because he was talking about...
pretty sure he won for Hateful Eight, though, too.
Did he?
I think so.
Good on him.
Or if he didn't, actor. He was nominated.
That was a good one.
Because he's so different from most of the people that he plays. Well, especially Sons of Anarchy.
You should watch Vice Principals on HBO.
Is that a good one?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Okay. Danny McBride.
Give it a peek.
And he earned it.
I don't like him.
Oh, man. I, boy, you might not like my next suggestion either, but Righteous Gemstones.
Yeah.
Walton Goggins is in that also.
Is he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He and McBride are tight now.
I don't know what it is about Danny McBride, but I just don't like him. He always is the same dude.
He is in these shows too, sort of, but there's a bit of redemption, I think, for him in, what's it called?
Gemstones.
Well, no.
Vice Principals.
Gemstones. What's that?
Vice Principals was better than Gemstones, in my opinion.
I think Vice Principals is excellent. I don't know that I'd call it better.
Gemstones has got to be worth it because John Goodman's in it.
Goodman's in it.
You know, and he's doing advertisements for like the fucking either the Northern Quest or the Coeur d'Alene Casino or something like that.
Really?
Shit.
Yeah.
Well, I should throw some of my business there.
I saw one of the local commercials during a football game here recently. There's they have a finger that dances around to tap on the screens, and it's John Goodman's head on the finger.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
He's lost a ton of weight.
Yeah, my dad was like, is that fucking John Goodman? I was like, yeah, it is.
Did you ever see The Gambler? It was him and Marky Mark.
Yeah.
That... I thought I watched that and I thought, man, he should have played the Kingpin at some point.
Oh yeah, he could have. He was big in that.
Yeah, he could have.
He was big and bald, and I was just like, wow. If that whole movie was just like an audition for him to be Wilson Fisk. It would have been perfect. I think he's probably a little old now.
Hi, Amy.
He's having a hard time now.
Love you. Thank you for watching the kids for me during the show.
Have you seen his new Connor sitcom?
He looks bad.
He doesn't look healthy on it.
No, he looks unhealthy.
Yeah, he's...
He looks skinny, but he looks tired.
Yeah, that's a good word. He's tired. It's still a good show, but he's...
Yeah, I've been enjoying it. The show's been enjoyable, but yeah, he doesn't have the energy.
He doesn't have the charisma that he used to have.
His Hannibal Lecter.
I think he saves his charisma for movies, but he doesn't have the same Dan. He's not the same Dan Connor he was in Roseanne.
He's no Walter Sobchak anymore.
Over the line.
But
you're out of your element.
Let's not forget, dude.
I watched the
an aquatic mammal like that in City Limits. That ain't legal either.
You watch episodes of the last season of Roseanne. He's got the haircut from Big Lebowski in that last season.
Really?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I passionately fucking hate Roseanne, and I never really watched that show much. Listening to her makes my ears hurt.
Well, she got fired, mid...
After that first season.
Revival.
Oh, right.
After the first season of the revival, and that's why it's called The Connors now, because she got fired.
She did something.
For a tweet. A racist tweet.
Roseanne being racist. What a strange coinkidink.
Weren't they millionaires at the end of,
Yeah, but they undid it.
Yeah, they made it all into some, thing that was a dream.
Made it like a Twin Peaks type deal.
Yeah.
All right, peeps, didn't I tell you this was the best one? They fucking nailed it as usual. In case you weren't listening at the beginning, make sure you head over to timespentpoorly.com and click things. Give us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. While you're at it, subscribe on YouTube and get notified the next time we're live. Maybe you appreciate what we give you and you want to support us? Great! Head over to patreon.com/timespentpoorly and check out how you can do just that. Thanks again for wasting your time with us this week. Now go make better use of it! Until next time.